Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Hoi hoi everyone.
This post-spring break week is
The post-spring break hangover. Yeah, it's the readjustment period.
It's a drag.
It is, man. You're right.
But I am looking forward to two 4-day weeks coming up.
4 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on again. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
No. No, sir.
It'll be nice.
It'll be cool. All right. But yeah, it does suck that we're back. Yeah. It's all right, man. We're another week closer to the end.
Yeah. By tomorrow, it'll be 8 weeks
we have left. We're good. It's all good.
All right. So we are here to discuss the second episode of the 9th season of The Simpsons. And it's titled The Principal and the Pauper.
Yes. Which, of course, is a play on the prince and the pauper.
Yes. That's, that's one of the classics that I haven't read.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I read, like, a children's version of it when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I've never actually read the whole thing
yet. I haven't even touched the book, I think. Mm. Okay, and this originally aired September 28th of 1997. And we will start with the traditional couch gag.
Yes. So we obviously sans chalkboard gag. Mm-hmm. And so the family, you see them appear in spacesuits and astronaut suits, right? And so they all make their way to the couch. And the couch looks really cool, actually.
Yes.
Apparently it has rockets underneath and it just blasts off into space with the family on it. Pretty cool. I like that one.
The Simpsons became astronauts.
Yes. Well, Homer for a second time.
That is true. He's already been to space.
You've never been?
All right. So we open up this episode at Springfield Elementary. And Principal Skinner is being a square like always.
Oh, my God.
He's doing like a inspection of the school. He's walking by. He's touching the lockers, checking for dust. He's checking to see if all of the clocks are synchronized and on time. He even checks the tone of the bell.
Yeah, with a little tuning fork, right?
Yes, he does.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh. And I forgot to mention this. When he was making sure the time on the clocks was right, he used a pocket watch. Yes. And you can see the picture of Agnes.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And this will come into play again in this episode, right? Yep, uh-huh. And all of that is synced up, which is... I mean, I haven't got no problem syncing up the... clock and all that, but some of that was a little much, man.
I mean, why are you going to check your lockers for dust? Kids are dirty.
Maybe just trying to keep Willie honest.
Maybe.
And so, what's the other one? The wall, the space between the wall and the garbage can.
Oh, yeah.
He's there with a ruler.
Making sure it's at the approved distance from the wall.
It is so... Yeah, he's a square, man. This is, I think this is borderline like obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, it's almost there, yeah. And Skinner is going crazy being a square. You know, Superintendent Chalmers walks in and he sneaks past Principal Skinner and he heads to the teacher's lounge.
Yeah, he's been sneaking the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just trying to stay there. And so he finally gets in. Mm-hmm. And I love his line here.
Yeah.
Says, good Lord, the rod up that man's butt must have a rod up its butt.
Because he is a damn square.
He's really got one up there.
Yep. And then Mrs. Krabappel goes, oh, Superintendent Chalmers, can I offer you a cup of coffee-flavored Beverine? I guess they can't afford coffee beverages.
Yeah.
So they have to get Beverines that are coffee-flavored.
So the response is that he takes it gray with creamium.
But I don't even drink coffee, and this makes me sick.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I don't want to think about gray coffee. I love coffee. No, I don't want that at all. Mm. And then he says, but he tells everybody before Skinner shows up, he has to give them all an announcement in secret that in honor of Seymour's 20th year as principal, they've decided to hold a surprise tribute on Friday night.
And this is when Willie steps in. He's like, it's my 20th year too.
And he kind of just like looks at Willie Chalmers and he's like, the teacher's lounge is for teachers, Willie. And he walks out. That was mean, that was man. Which justifies Willie spitting on the ground in front of him as he walks out the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Willie was in every right to do that.
If I were Willie, I would have like smacked him upside the head.
I'm surprised he did it.
Yeah.
You know.
So we go back to Miss Hoover's class, and she's asking her students who's to volunteer to give an oral report at Principal Skinner's tribute, right? Yes.
And Ralph's question is, Miss Hoover, which one is oral?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then Miss Hoover goes, out of your mouth, Ralph. Then volunteers, thank you, Lisa, because Lisa was the first to raise her hand, right?
But also, Ralph is still raising his hand. Mm-hmm. And as she says thank you to Lisa, he says, no, Miss Hoover, I'm Ralph.
And Miss Hoover says, I only need one volunteer, Ralph.
And then he says, Miss Hoover, which one is one?
And this is when Lisa steps in and says, Ralph and I could do the report together.
How sweet of Lisa, right?
Yes.
And Miss Hoover's response is great because it's just your funeral.
And then we see Ralph, Miss Hoover?
Oh, God. And we, you know, cut to the next part of the, you know, the episode.
Yeah.
It must be torture to be Ralph's teacher, man.
Oh, God. You know, they're elementary kids, so you...
Yeah.
But still, this is why I don't teach
elementary. It's got to stop being cute at some point.
Yeah, this is why I don't teach elementary. Yeah, no. I don't know what I would do, man.
Oh, Ralph. And so we cut back to the Simpsons house. We are actually at the kitchen table. And Bart is humming a song as he is sticking miniature American flags into little brown balls on a baking sheet. Now, at first, it looks like they're like meatballs, right?
Yeah. And then Marge walks in. She's like, Bart, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
And he tells him, tells Marge that the class is making refreshments or hors d'oeuvres, right? Mm-hmm. For Skinner's big party. And that these with the flags are in honor of his army days, right?
And Marge goes, well, that explains the flags. But what about the dog food?
Yes, because they are indeed not meatballs, but dog food. Right? Uh-huh. And so Bart says, my theory is Skinner likes dog food.
And Marge's like, let's bake him a cake.
And then, of course, Homer, in his infinite glory, just happens to come into the kitchen at that point. Ooh, a fresh batch of America balls. And he starts wolfing them down, right? And he doesn't even care. The little toothpick flags are getting stuck on him and everything. It's disgusting.
Very disgusting.
And it's that really gelatinous dog food.
God.
America balls.
A fresh batch of America balls. Hey, by the way, do you remember watching Mel Gibson eat a can of dog food?
Yes, in Mad Max, in The Road Warrior, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but he also did that on, was it Leno, I think?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know, was Carson Leno? I think he did it on one of those shows, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it on TV, because you're not actually eating dog food.
Yeah.
But sure. if you're on stage, and you open it up, you know, you break out the can opener, you open it up, and then, like, yeah.
We made one of my cousins when we were kids take a spoonful
of dog food
on a dare or a bet. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Oh, you know what? Just to nerd out on that a little bit, since we mentioned Mad Max, do you see what's coming out?
Furiosa.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Yeah, it does. What's his name? Thor looks pretty damn great on that.
Oh yeah, he does.
As cool. The character he's playing looks pretty damn
looks
great.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to get Furiosa with two arms, right? Starting out this one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she's going to lose
her
arm there, but yeah, she's going to start off.
I think we're going to get the origin story of the prosthetic.
Yeah.
That's sick, man. Anyway, back to this.
Yes. We could nerd on Mad Max all day here.
Yes.
Anyway, so Homer sits at his writing desk.
No.
Not Homer.
Skinner.
Mm-hmm. Right? Skinner sits at home. He's on the writing desk and he's got this light kind of like projecting at him, and there's a white paper on the wall, and he calls down his mother, right? And she's like, "Mother, it's time for our weekly silhouette."
Because she has screamed at him, right? Like, "Seymour, tell me what time it is," right? And then he tells her, right, it's silhouette night. It's
yeah. Time, right? It's... And then Agnes goes, "No! Cutting out your ugly nose gives me a hand cramp."
And he's very surprised, like, "But you love silhouette night." Mm-hmm. And then we go through your bird book and make up silly captions. And then he looks at her, and Agnes is actually dressed to the nines.
Yeah,
and he asks her, like, "Why are you so dressed up?"
And she's like, "I'm sick of this house, and I'm sick of you. Tonight, we're going for a drive."
And he asks her, like, "So what's so special about tonight?"
"Nothing! Now put on your special suit and get in the car."
And of course you hear that, "Yes, mother."
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness, man. Agnes is a pill, man. I tell you that.
Yeah. So, you know, they both pull up to the Springfield Elementary, and there's a sign out there that says, "Tonight, surprise tribute to Seymour Skinner."
And, stupid.
Yeah. And as he's driving by, Skinner's like, "Why are we stopping at my school, mother? What does it say on that sign?"
And then she smacks him, right? Like, straight up. She's like, "I don't like your tone."
Man, Agnes, she had that volume up in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And so we see them walk into the school auditorium, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they open the door, and there's a big crowd in there. It's packed, right? There's a lot of people. And you just hear the big surprise.
And Agnes, for the first time in this episode, "Happy anniversary, son."
Yep.
Actually talks nicely.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. This episode, we'll notice that, you know, Agnes really turns it up in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But she also is more compassionate than she's ever been.
Yeah.
Like, ever on
it. Very freaky.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells her, "Oh, mother, you are still the master of deception."
"I surely am."
And so we see Lisa and Ralph on stage dressed very nice also. Ralph's got a little tuxedo on, right? Mm-hmm. Lisa's in a very nice dress.
Yep.
And there's a big picture of Principal Skinner in the back with an American flag in the back, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so Lisa's starting her report, right? Her oral report. She says, "So in 1966, a brave young man named Seymour Skinner enlisted and shipped out to Vietnam, where he rose to become platoon sergeant." Ralph?
And Ralph Cookson. "Principal Skinner is an old man who lives at the school. Lisa?"
"Sergeant Skinner was a hero. He risked capture many times behind enemy lines."
"The teacher made me go to the Principal Skinner's office today when I was dirty."
And Lisa continues, "And he survived to make it back to Springfield, where he became the fine educator we salute tonight."
When I grow up, I want to be a principal or a caterpillar. I love you, Principal Skinner."
And the crowd applauds, yes. Right? And it's so funny because Ralph just saves it with all that at the end.
Yeah.
That is an adorable Ralph.
"I love you, Principal Skinner." "I want to be a principal or a caterpillar."
And then we see, you know, after the crowd applauds, we have a group of children. I love this little part because it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So there's a choir there, right? And we have a piano, and they are singing the theme song, man, to Flipper. Right, man, I haven't seen Flipper in so long. If you've never watched Flipper,
it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a rite of passage for any, like, American kid.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so instead of Flipper, they're singing, "They call him Skinner, Skinner, faster than lightning." I love that song. I loved it when I was a kid.
"No one you see is stricter than he."
That's such a cool part.
So, while this is happening, right, we cut outside and we see some guy driving past the school in a taxi, right? And he reads a sign, "Tonight, tribute to Seymour Skinner." And he's like, "Pull over, driver."
And we notice that the guy in the car, right, he's in uniform.
Yeah,
right?
He's got his military uniform, right?
And so back inside, Superintendent Chalmers gets on stage and he says, "Now, I know the school normally serves cake only on Thursdays, and I'm also aware that today is Friday. Nevertheless, I have a surprise for you." Right? And the crowd's like, "Ooh, yeah.
He's talking about cake, and they're surprised when they see the cake."
Yes, Bart and Milhouse roll a cake onto the stage, mm-hmm. right? And everybody's clapping, Principal Skinner walks up to the stage, right? Bart shakes his hand, and he's wearing a hand buzzer.
So Skinner gets a little shock. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, what the? Oh, an enjoyment buzzer. Ha. Oh, thank you. What a wonderful night to share with the people and the town I love. I have never been happier or prouder to be Seymour Skinner.
And at that moment, we hear a gravelly voice come out of the background and says, you're not Seymour Skinner.
And Skinner goes, Skinner.
And Chalmers, Skinner.
And then the guy goes, I'm Skinner.
And Agnes says, Seymour? And she's like, starts fainting, right?
And Skinner's like, mother.
And the stranger says, she's my mother.
And Chalmers is like, will somebody remove that crazy man, please?
That's such a cool scene. Uh-huh. And at that moment, it's very tense. And Principal Skinner puts his hand on Chalmers' back and tells him, calms him down, says, no, no, he's not crazy. It's true. I'm an imposter. That man is the real Seymour Skinner.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right? Yeah. Everybody freaks out. Except for one person. And this is, I love this scene. This is so classic Homer.
Yeah. While everybody's staring at the two guys in shock, we see Homer in the back.
We zoom in on him, right?
Yeah, we see him in the back, and he's kind of like moving very slowly. He's like, keep looking shocked and move slowly toward the cake.
That's such a, I got to respect the strategy on Homer, yeah. Though.
While everybody is looking, you get in the front of the line.
He's got his smarts when it involves things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so we're in Principal Skinner's office, and Agnes is on a chair because she fainted, right? And so Chalmers there is like, okay, so now let's clear this up. Who exactly are you? He tells the stranger.
And the guy salutes him. He's like, Sergeant Seymour Skinner, U.S. Army.
And former Principal Skinner, I'm guessing, says, it's true. I was in his platoon. They said you were killed on that scouting mission.
No, just captured. It's kind of a funny story, really. After 5 years in a secret POW camp, I was sold to China for slave labor. And since 77, I've been making sneakers at gunpoint in a sweatshop in Wuhan.
And I was like, that's not a funny story.
Well, I guess you had to be there.
Now, I'm so glad that you did that part right now because you did it perfect. Because I think it was only right that the Army vet tell that story. How many of your superiors when you were in the Army had that kind of voice?
As far as officers go, only one, but three drill sergeants and one sergeant back in my platoon.
That same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you sound like this.
And I couldn't wait to ask you that. How often did you run into that? And I bet you a lot of those guys from Nam? Were any of those guys from Nam?
The sergeant major was.
Yeah.
The sergeant major.
And you could. Was. I'm sure you could tell. Mm.
By the way, I have nothing against the Marines, mm-hmm. but. When they're in boot camp and their drill instructor starts to yell at them, they change their voices. Right? So if I'm going to yell at you, I'm going to yell at you in my voice. Mm-hmm. But when they yell at them over there, they go from this to... let me see if I can do this.
Oh, we're doing this live.
Up, down, up, down, up, down. I'm like, come on, man. You don't really talk like that. What are you trying to sound like a robot for? Just yell at them. You're going to scare the hell out of them anyway.
I never knew that. I never noticed that. That's hilarious. But I will say, though, every time I think of a Marine drill sergeant, I think of the good old Gunny.
Yes.
The good old Gunny. We miss that guy.
Oh, God, yes. God
anyway, bless that man. So he says that the UN factory shut down the factory he was in, uh-huh. right? And they shipped him home. And now here he is, right?
And so Chalmers goes, so what's your story, Seymour, if that is your real name?
And he says, well, obviously it isn't. My real name is Armin Tanzarian.
And everybody gasps, except for Bart.
He's just there like trying not to look at him and laugh, right? Oh, my goodness.
So he's like, I'm an orphan from Capital City. And those who recall my fight to outlaw teenage rudeness may be shocked to learn that I was once myself a street punk.
And we cut to a little flashback, right? And we see Armin Tanzarian on his awesome motorcycle going through Capital City with his hair blowing in the wind, right?
He's got a glorious mane of hair.
He does, right? Mm-hmm. And he makes a turn and he actually snatches a purse from an old woman and drives away. Mm-hmm. And he continues with his story. And he says that, you know, the way I was headed was just a matter of time before I wound up in front of a judge. And he actually wipes out on his motorcycle right in front of a judge.
Yeah. And he's like, and they gave me a choice. Jail, the army, or apologizing to the judge and the old lady. Of course, if I had known there was a war going on, I probably would have apologized.
My goodness. He is real thick, you can tell.
Yeah. Really, really dense.
And
now we have the cool flashbacks here.
Yes, mm-hmm. We're starting to get there. Mm-hmm. And so we cut back to the jungles of Vietnam during the war. And we see Armin. His whole platoon is fighting, right? And he's there grooming his hair, right? And then a bullet hits his comb. It's shot out of his hands. Mm-hmm. And that's where he gets upset.
Yep.
Starts paying attention. He like pulls his knife out of his pocket and he stands up in the little bunker and says, okay, who wants a piece of me?
And this is when Sergeant Seymour Skinner steps in, mm-hmm. and he tackles him to the ground to make sure he doesn't take a bullet to the skull. Mm-hmm. And Skinner goes, you trying to get yourself killed? Tanzarian, you got your whole life ahead of you. Don't you have any dreams?
A very different person at that time says, my dreams all involve combing my hair.
So Skinner goes, oh, gosh, son, everybody's got dreams. I come from a small town called Springfield, and my dream is to go back and become principal of the elementary school.
And Armin just says, some people might call that a pretty corny dream, Sergeant. He caught himself right there.
So Skinner goes, well, there's nothing corny about fresh-faced youngsters skipping to school, scraping knees, spelling bees, and pies cooling on windowsills. Eh? Well, sir, if that's corny, then corn me up.
That is corny.
Uh-huh.
And so the narration continues, right? And he's, you know, Armin says that Sergeant Skinner took me under his wing and showed me that life is worth living. Mm-hmm. I came to think of him as the big brother I never had. He made me believe I might have a future after all. And when they told us he was missing, presumed dead, my future died once again. My life lost all meaning.
And Bar's like, come on, get to the part where you steal his identity.
Terrible, right? Uh-huh. And so Armin's like, I'm trying to explain how emotionally fragile I was.
And Bar's like, ugh, it's one of those stories.
So bad. And so he keeps going. He says that Sergeant Skinner meant the world to him and that he felt it was his duty to deliver the grim news to his mother. And so we see a young Armin with the folded flag right in his uniform walking down the streets of Springfield, and he comes to the door of Agnes. Right? So he knocks. She answers. Mm-hmm. And he tells her, he's like, hello, I'm...
And then Agnes kind of squints at him, like, Seymour? Is that you?
And he keeps narrating, right? We see the whole scene, and in the background we hear him. He's like, I don't know why I did what I did. I guess I couldn't bear to tell her about her son. What I did was wrong, but I'd do it again. And he answers her, and he just says, for the first time, I'm guessing, he's like, yes, mother, it's me.
So Agnes goes, you look different somehow, but you must be Seymour. Yes, you are Seymour.
And he continues, right? He says, as strange as it sounds, deep down, I think she knew I wasn't her son. But a lie made us both happier than the truth ever could have.
So Agnes goes, you can have some lima beans as soon as you cleaned up your room. Go! Upstairs. Because like he didn't know where to go. It's like he whispers, upstairs, third door on the left. And then she shouts, don't walk on the rugs!
He goes, yes, mother. So, obviously, yes, Agnes knows,
too. Uh-huh. Right. So then we come back to the present while he's finishing his story, right? He goes, don't judge her too harshly, Sergeant. She was a lonely old woman, If you must blame someone, blame me.
And he says, that's pretty much what I was planning to do there, Armin.
So then Armin goes, by the way, remember, Armin is Seymour.
Yes.
So Armin goes, well, that's about it. So for the past 26 years, I've dedicated myself to living out your dream.
And I love the response of, I didn't dream anything about an aqua suit and a lavender shirt, but you did take care of Mom. And then Agnes wakes up, right?
Like, a dagger through my heart.
And Armin says, oh, here, Mother, let me help you.
Get your hands off me.
And Skinner jumps in. He's like, please, Mom.
You too, stranger.
And Skinner's like, I'm your son.
And she's really, really pissed off. She's like, I have no son.
And Homer doesn't get what's going on. He's like, look, lady, obviously you have at least one son.
No, I have one stranger and one fraud.
And Skinner tells her to take it easy, right?
I said back off.
And Armin jumps in and says that you better do as she says. She's pretty quick with a hatpin.
Oh my God.
I know, right? And so he says, well, I suppose I have to find a hotel.
So Chalmers goes, I won't hear of it. Tonight, you can sleep on the floor of your office.
Such a terrible.
Yes.
And so we cut to the next day, and Bart is whistling down the hall of the elementary school, and he opens the door to the principal's office. But we see that, like, on a, just on a mattress, right?
Yeah.
Armin, not even dressed yet. He's in his tank top and his boxer shorts. He gets up real quick and he sits at his desk.
And Bart's like, hey, Armin, Mr. Krabappel sent me. I forged my dad's signature on my report card.
And he's like, oh, now Bart, you know that's wrong.
Well, I don't see how me signing Homer's name is any different from you using Sergeant Skinner's name.
And he sighs like, I guess me punishing you seems somewhat hypocritical. Why don't you just write a 30-word essay on what you've done?
Hey, easy there, you big imposter.
Terrible. Bart's a jerk on this.
30-word essay, he still got problems with that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so we cut to the Quickie Mart, right? And Armin is writing a check. And Marge is nearby, and he asks Apu, so should I sign my original name?
And Apu's like, just put an X, then call yourself whatever the hell you want.
And he goes, oh, well, there's no need for profanity. My name may have changed, but I'm still the same man I was last week.
And this is when Marge steps in. She's like, not to us, you're not. I mean, how would you feel if you suddenly found out Ned Flanders was an imposter?
He says, who's Ned Flanders?
And Marge says, next door neighbor, religious guy.
Oh, you mean Reverend Lovejoy?
No, I don't. What I mean to me is, you're just a stranger pretending to be somebody he's not. Sorry, but that's just how I feel.
And he tells her, don't not to apologize, that he needs to stop pretending, yeah. Right? And so, in front of, there's gathering people, right? In Springfield, he stands at a little podium. Chalmers is there. Sergeant Skinner's there. And he says, I've called this assembly to announce my retirement. Effective as of the end of this sentence. This sentence I'm speaking right now. Period.
And then the crowd gasps.
That's such a great scene. Yeah. The timing on that's great.
Yeah.
And he says that he wrongfully usurped Sergeant Skinner's position, and I suggest you consider him to replace me. Thank you.
And then Superintendent Chalmers goes, well, now, I don't know. Skinner, do you know anything about being a principal?
Right, and he says, well, it's been my lifelong ambition, and if a man pretending me can do it, well then, logically, the real me must be far more qualified. Okay, no, that doesn't work that way, but...
The transitive property doesn't work here, right?
No.
So Chalmers goes, good enough, Armin Tanzarian's reign of terror is now over.
I love that line, right?
Now, let us welcome our new Principal Skinner, Principal Seymour Skinner.
Right, people... Cheer, but we see backstage Armin walking into the shadows. And then later on, he's standing at the front door of his mother's house. He says goodbye to his sergeant, his life. And he says, before I go, he pulls some things out. I've got some personal items for you. You belong to the Radio Shack Battery Club.
Oh, my God.
Oh, $10 Canadian. That's a souvenir from your trip to upstate New York.
The new principal Skinner goes, "You've led quite a life, Tanzarian."
Yeah, and he tells him, "It's your life. I've just kept it warm for you." Oh, and he says, "And I nearly forgot your pocket watch. Mother's picture's still inside. Take good care of
her." And Skinner goes, "I'll wind her every day." So was he talking about the watch or the mother?
He was, well, you know, Armin is talking about Agnes.
Yes.
But yeah.
Skinner is talking about the watch.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So they salute each other, and Agnes comes out the front door, right? Mm-hmm.
And Agnes says, "I poached some fish for your trip, Mr. Tanzarian. They're full of tiny bones, so I want you to be careful."
Right. And so he hugs her, right? Mm-hmm. They have a real awkward hug, like a side hug, right? Mm-hmm. And then they walk away. And we end up at the front of Miss Krabobble's apartment, mm-hmm. right? And he knocks on the door.
So she opens?
Yeah. And he says, "Good evening, Edna. I know we were planning to see a film tonight, but instead I'm leaving town forever."
So Edna goes, "No, please, I don't care what you've done. You're still a decent, honorable man."
And he says, "That's the kind of talk that makes me want to marry you."
And Edna's like, "Oh.
But instead, I'm leaving town forever."
Dang.
That was mean, man.
It is mean.
You can't say something like that, man, if you ain't serious about it.
Oh, God, no.
You actually feel bad for Miss K on that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, any woman would feel really, really pissed after that.
That's messed up, man.
So he walks away from the apartment and he goes to store you stuff. I guess it's kind of like the U-Haul.
Yeah, where they have the...
storage or whatever.
Yeah, storage, all that stuff.
So he goes up to Garage 24. He pulls out a leather jacket from a box with his name on it. He's like, "Well, it's time to pick up where I left off as a no-good street punk." Mm-hmm. And he tosses away the cover to the motorcycle and he starts it. And he drives past Bart, Milhouse, and Martin.
And this is one of my favorite Principal Skinner scenes of all time, mm-hmm. man. Even though he's Armin in this one.
Yeah.
So he drives past them, right? And they're all looking at him like... And
Bart's like, "Principal Skinner?"
And as he leaves, he turns around and he says, "Up yours, children!" Great. I love that, man. Uh-huh. As he rides away on his awesome motorcycle, right?
All right. So we open up the next scene... with Kent Brockman reporting the news.
Good old Kent.
Yep, he's laughing. Now, to recap our top story in its entirety, the adaptable citizens of Springfield have opened their hearts to Principal Seymour Skinner, who, and then you see a picture of Armin,
the one that was at the assembly, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It goes up on the screen next to Kent. He's like, "Not that one."
And then we see a new picture, gets replaced, right, of the new Sergeant Skinner, but it's upside down. And Kent gets pissed, right? He like crumbles up his nose and he throws them at the TV. And
he's like, "Idiots!"
Idiot.
So, like in the TV, right? We see a crowd, and then we listen to Skinner start to speak. He's like, "Thank you, thank you. I must say, in many ways, Springfield really beats the old slave labor camp."
In many ways, right?
That's not a ringing endorsement, though.
No, it's not. And so people are cheering. We cut to the Simpsons back at home. They're watching it. And Lisa says that, "I admit Sergeant Skinner seems okay, but Mr. Tanzarian pulled himself up from the streets and earned our respect and admiration."
And then Bart goes, "But what about his name?"
And it's where Lisa gets smart, right? It's like, "His name doesn't matter." And she quotes, "A rose by any other name would still smell as sweet."
"Not if you called them stench blossoms."
"Or crap weeds," says Homer.
Marge steps in. "I'd hate to get a dozen of crap weeds for Valentine's Day. I'd rather have candy."
"Not if they were called scum drops," says Homer again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're just ridiculous.
Going off the rails there. So next thing we know, we're back in Mrs. Krabobble's classroom. We see Chalmers and Mrs. K and Skinner standing at the front. So Chalmers goes, "Your new principal would like to say a few words. Remember, you have to respect him. He's a war hero."
And we get a Nelson, "Ha ha!" For what reason, I don't know on that one. Yeah. But.
So Skinner steps in. He's like, "Thank you, Chalmers. You know, where I come from, there's no better way to get acquainted by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance together." And he looks to Bart. "Why did you lead us, son?"
And Bart, real quick, gets up, puts his hand on his heart and he says, "Hey, America, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. America." and all the kids laugh, right? Uh-huh.
And Skinner says, "Well, that's very concise, but it's an insult to everything I suffered for. Now take a seat, Junior, and listen to someone who gave their youth in service to this country. Miss Krabappel, the pledge, please."
And she looks at her and she goes,
"Oh my God.
You haven't dealt with women for a long time, have you, Sergeant?"
No, he has not, right? And Skinner's like, "Are you asking me out?"
No. Yeah, he really has not dealt with women in a long time. Who thought he'd be more square with women than Armin?
Yeah, apparently he is, right?
Yep.
So now we cut to the mean streets of Capital City. And we see Armin Tanzarian walking through the dirty buildings and the police sirens.
Yes, crime everywhere.
He's like, 433rd Street, my old neighborhood.
And he's pushing his bike right down the street. And he stops right in front of a building and it says topless models, right? And there's a sign that says help wanted.
So he decides to get a job at the working with the topless models, right? And of course, we have to remember this guy's a real square. Mm-hmm. And he got hired to help them advertise in the streets.
Yeah.
So he's wearing a sign that reads...
The sandwich ones, right?
The sandwich boards, right? And it says nude, nude, nude. And he's reading the lines in his typical boring-ass fashion.
Yes. So you hear him like, "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Capital City's nakedest ladies. They're not even wearing a smile. Nod suggestively. Yes, six. Count them. Six gorgeous lady. Just dying for your leers and catcalls. Yowza, yowza."
You're fired, Armin.
Oh, you're dude, fired. Yeah, you're gone, man.
By the way, you're in Capital City, and you only have six girls working the stage?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Well, it was a really bad neighborhood.
I guess.
To be fair, it was a really bad neighborhood.
That is true, yeah.
So, and then we cut back to the Skinner residence, and we see the new Skinner, right, walking to the door. But Agnes is there waiting by the door, looking very angry.
And she goes, "Oh, Seymour, it's 7:30. Where are you? Where were you?"
He says, "A bar, Mom."
"I don't know what that is, but on Fridays you come straight home after school. Tonight is silhouette night. Sit there."
And she's got everything, you know, set up, right? Mm-hmm. And he tells her that, "I really just came home to change into a turtleneck."
"Seymour, sit."
He says, "In the morning. Oh, Mom?" And he reaches down and he sees some keys and he grabs it and says, "I'm borrowing your car."
So he takes the car, the keys, and he leaves. And Agnes is pissed. Yeah. And you can see her like stewing in her anger, even in the grocery store when she's trying to check out.
Yeah, you just see it, right? Uh-huh. More than usual. And Marge like pulls up behind her with her car and she says, "Oh, good morning, Agnes. How's your new son working out?"
"That child is the most disobedient, smart alecky, middle-aged man in creation."
I love that line. And at that moment, Miss Krabappel's walking by. She's like, "Oh, hello, ladies. Is this the line for people who want to badmouth Sergeant Skinner?"
And Marge goes, "And have 10 items or less."
There's the Edna look in her card. She grabs a few things. She goes, 12, 11, 10. That man is a weenie.
Marge goes, "Now, be fair, Edna. I like Armin Tanzarian, too. But he was at least as big a weenie as Sergeant Skinner."
And that is where Edna says, "But he was our weenie." And Agnes jumps in, right?
And she goes, "Now there was a weenie you could be proud to call your son."
My goodness. But at that moment, Marge asked her, like, "Did you ever tell him that?"
And Agnes thinks about it for a minute, right? And she's staring away. And then later... she and Edna and Homer ride in the front seat of his car, right?
So, yeah, Homer's just driving. Uh-huh. And so he asks the question, "Okay, once more, where are we going?"
Edna goes, "To Capital City."
"And why are you and the old lady in the car?"
"We're going to talk Armin Tanzarian coming back."
"And why is Marge here?"
"I came up with the idea."
"And why am I here?"
because the streets of Capital City, this is Marge, right? Yeah. Because the streets of Capital City are no place for three unescorted ladies.
And Homer, why are the kids here?
And Marge goes, because we couldn't find Grandpa to sit for them.
Why is Grandpa here?
And then Abe goes, because Jasper didn't want to come by himself.
And Homer says, huh, fair enough. That's a great scene. That's an awesome scene. That's just good writing on that one.
So Abe turns to Agnes and goes, hello, beautiful.
She's just like, in your dreams.
And he goes, we'll see about that. And he falls asleep and he starts mumbling, hello, beautiful, in his sleep.
That's funny. And we cut to Armin's apartment, right? Little one studio, right?
Yeah, little studio apartment.
Yeah, little studio apartment. And he's laying on his floor mattress, right? It's disgusting in there, by the way.
Yes, it is.
And everybody's standing around him, though. And he says, my mind is made up. I'm not coming back, and that's final.
Edna goes, oh, Seymour.
And she's like, and I'm not Seymour. My name is Armin. This is Armin's apartment, Armin's liquor, Armin's copy of Swank, Armin's frozen peas.
And Homer goes, can I see your copy of Swank, Armin?
He goes, yes, you can. He tosses it to him. Homer's reading a nudie magazine in front of his wife and children.
Yes, he is. That man has no shame.
No, he does not. And he says, this is Armin's life, and maybe it's not perfect, but at least I'm back where I belong. I was born a no good Nick, and I'll die a no good Nick.
Agnes steps in and is like, Seymour, I didn't bring you up to use language like that.
And he tells her that, well, you didn't bring me up at all.
So Agnes goes, to hell I didn't. I've been taking care of you for 26 years. I'm the only mother you've ever known.
And he says, but you have your real son.
You are my real son. You've been my son longer than he has. And he doesn't need me, and I don't need him. Now you march downstairs and get in that car.
He goes, yes, mother.
And the rest of you too.
And everybody, yes, Mrs. Skinner. She, like, man, she went for it on that one. Ah, man, this is a great, you know, spotlight on Agnes.
Yeah, this is a great little episode for her. So we go back to Springfield, right? And Homer's honking his horn, getting the town's attention, letting everybody know that the Skinner they know and love is back.
And so everybody's talking to each other, and then actual Principal Skinner, new principal, comes out, and he starts talking, right? And he tells him, you all seem to be forgetting that I am the Seymour Skinner. This is where I belong. You can't ask me to disappear just because you like some other guy better. I gave half my life to you people. Aren't I entitled to a little dignity?
So Armin goes, you're right, Sergeant Chalm, Sergeant.
Yep, and Chalmers says, well, I don't see any way out of this.
So Homer steps in and is like, now, if you'll allow me, I think I have a solution that'll satisfy the town and let Sergeant Skinner keep his dignity.
And so we cut, have a little time lapse there, and we see Sergeant Skinner in a chair tied to a flatbed rail car. The train starts whistling, and it starts to pull away. And you just hear him yell, but I'm a hero!
And then Homer says, and we salute you for it, but no come back.
And they're all out there. They have, like, music playing and everything as the train goes off. They're giving him a hero's goodbye.
And Agnes is like, I'm sorry, Seymour. It's nice you're alive, but you're just not what I'm looking for in a son. I'm glad you understand.
And so the crowd cheers the train away. You lose sight of him. And Armin says, well, this is a lovely gesture, but we still have to face the fact that I'm not really Seymour Skinner.
And Homer goes, oh, no, we don't. Judge Snyder.
I always love a good Judge Snyder moment. And Judge Snyder comes in. He says, by the authority of the city of Springfield, I hereby confer upon you the name of Seymour Skinner, as well as his past, present, future, and mother.
So Skinner goes, okay.
And I further decree that everything will be just like it was before all this happened. And no one will ever mention it again. Under penalty of torture.
And everybody goes crazy cheering.
That's so funny. I mean, yes, the judge does not have that authority, people, but that is hilarious. That's so good.
So Agnes goes, here, son, this is yours again.
She gives him the pocket watch, right? Yeah, yes. Uh-huh. Okay. And he says, I've never been happier or prouder to be Seymour Skinner. But these last few days, as a hot-headed rogue, Armin Tanzarian has taught me a thing or two. Now, maybe I've been a little too uptight in the past. Well, from now on, you're going to see a new Seymour Skinner. And he starts loosening up his tie, right? Uh-huh. He's not going to be so uptight.
Yeah. And now he goes, oh, no, we won't.
He says, yes, mother. He puts his tie back up real quick, fixes it.
And we end the episode like that. This was a really good, really funny episode.
Fantastic episode.
Oh, God. What's not to like?
You got to love when an episode's not Simpsons family-centric.
Yeah.
And it's still awesome. Mm-hmm. You got to love that, man.
Yeah, this one pretty much revolved around Skinner, his mother, and the quest to become Skinner again.
Man. What a great episode. I love this episode.
Yeah. So, on a scale of 1 to 5 donuts, what would you rate this particular episode as?
Well, we're starting the season strong again. We got 2 fives.
Another 5 donut episode. Yes,
we got another 5 donut episode. It's just, it's a great episode. Yeah. There's nothing not to like.
Yeah, it's silly. It's funny. It's
character development.
Preposterous, yeah.
Like, yeah, the whole backstory of Skinner.
How he became Skinner.
Yep.
And then
we started getting more into his nom days.
We actually saw a little soft side to Agnes.
Yes, that was a thing, man. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then of course, you know, Agnes got a lot of screen time on this one. She was funny, man.
Yep. So besides Lamb of God, do you know what Agnes translates to in Spanish?
No.
Ines.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Huh. I did not know that.
Now you do.
Now I do.
That's and knowing cool. is half the battle.
But yeah, man, there's so many cool just jokes in this, and you know, the dialogue, like, why are you in the car, and who's like, all of that, just so good, man.
Why are the kids with us? Because we couldn't find Grandpa. Why is Grandpa here?
Because Jasper didn't want to come alone.
Oh my God.
That is pretty funny, man. Yeah, so yeah, it's just great episode. I don't remember seeing this one reran a lot.
No.
And that's a shame, because this
is a really good episode.
You know, again, character development. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get the side characters some spotlight, it's always, there's some gold in there.
Seymour!
We should do like an Instagram post soon or something. Like a silhouette night picture of both of us or something. That'd be hilarious.
It'd be really easy to do mine.
Yeah.
No hair.
Yeah.
Just a nice, smooth circle
of there hair. You go.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we sign off?
Nope. Just great episode. Thanks, everybody that listens, right? Make sure you check out our stuffs.
Yes. Make sure you tell your friends about us. Don't forget to give us a little likes and little reviews. Mm-hmm. 5-star ratings, depending on where you listen to us. It just helps people find our little show easier, and hopefully we can start to grow a little bit here. Anything else there, El Rey?
Nope.
All right. Until next week, au revoir, suckers.